2 weeks ago at a family gathering, I met my son's neighbor who provides rental cleaning equipment. In the conversation, he mentioned about a customer who was going to come to see him and wanted to pick up a pressure washer. So he mentioned to this customer over the phone that what his address was and what the closing time was, and then he waited for her to appear. 2 hours later, his phone rang, and he heard her say, "I'm here! Where are you? I'm in Saint Jean Baptiste." And he replies, "Our address is Saint Jean Baptiste Street, Saint Boniface, Winnipeg." So we see in such an example where we think in our minds that we know the complete truth and start living our lives on that incomplete truth. The same is true how we can be deceived by an incomplete understanding of God's Word. And one of the points learned during VBS was truth comes from God. Today's message about God's truth focuses on Romans 1 and verse 2. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So before we go into this scripture, let us look at the context behind Paul writing this letter. It was written to a church in Rome, which he had not started and had never visited. Acts chapter 2, verses 1, 5, and 10 give reason for some to believe that the Roman, not Jewish, believers returning from the day of Pentecost may have started this church in Rome. Paul introduces himself in Romans 1, verse 1, as a man set apart for the gospel of God. Paul states also in verses 13 or 14, "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish." The obligation mentioned as is Paul's obligation to God, revealed in verses 15 and 16. "But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." Now, picture in your mind Paul writing this letter, not sitting in a jail from where many of his letters had been written before, but in a Grecian seaport. There he awaits a break in the 3 months of hazardous weather that is preventing any further ship travel at this time. Weather was a normal hazard in his travels, but another challenge raises its head. Over the previous 13 years of Claudius Emperor's reign, he had expelled from Rome over 14,000 Jews, which would also have included Jewish Christians. This expulsion is confirmed in Acts 18, verses 1 and 2, which says, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. This expulsion may have changed the population of Roman believers from being mainly Jewish to being completely Gentiles. Through this turmoil, God empowered Paul to make known to the Gentile believers the truth of God, which the Jews had learned from birth, but the Gentiles had not been taught. To add to this turmoil, Nero became the next emperor. Nero saw this control over Rome quite differently than Claudius. He saw that the Jews would be good for business, so he displayed the welcome banner, "Jews, come on back." Imagine the Jewish believers, after 13 years of exile, returning to Rome to find the Gentiles in charge of their churches. The tension, there for centuries, only got worse. God used Paul to throw light on this tension of unbelief, as God had spoken through Isaiah centuries before. We see this in Romans 15, verses 8 to 12. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, for even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. Just imagine the strength Paul has been given through his knowledge of God's prophecies in the Old Testament to fulfill his ministry to the Gentiles. Now that you have the background, we can start with part one of the message. Paul wanted to make sure his readers truly understood the main theme in his first 11 chapters of his letter to the Roman believers. This theme is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is expressed by his term, the mercies of God. This brings us to the first verse of Romans chapter 12. Again, we repeat, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In this verse, we will look at three points in the gospel truth of Jesus Christ: our condition without Christ, our condition toward Christ, and our condition within Christ. Point one, our condition without Christ. Before that blessed moment in Christians' lives when we trusted in Christ Jesus for salvation, our spiritual condition was cloaked in sin, as in Romans 1, verses 18 to 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. We were all in a condition of ungodliness and unrighteousness. We were all, not only that, but we unknowingly held back or suppressed the truth of God in our hearts, which was affecting the lives of those around us. We were guilty before God, and the wrath of God was already abiding over us and against us. John 3, verse 36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Romans 1, verses 24 and 25 also state our situation in our unsaved condition. "Therefore God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And just what is the truth about God that we changed into a lie? It is the truth that the Lord our God is the Most High God. He is to have the place of preeminence, the top place in our lives. He is to be given the glory and honor for all things, and worshipped by all. We are to serve him in obedience and him only. We were self-centered, not God-centered, and sought the glory and honor for ourselves. Romans 3, verses 10 to 12 brings our spiritual condition to this conclusion. As it is written, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." This crystallizes our guilty and sinful condition. We were lost in the darkness of our sinfulness, unrighteousness, and ungodliness. But we will be shown in my second point how God showed mercy to us sinners by providing a way of salvation through his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Point two, our condition toward Christ. A person does not have to learn a new language or a new culture to become a believer. All one must do is bow the knee in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will forgive and save you. Romans 5, verse 6 proclaims this truth. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." This is God's love and mercy toward us sinners. The perfect Son of God, who knew no sin, died for us. Us, ungodly, unrighteous, wicked sinners. He died in our place. The wrath of God that was against us because of our sins, he took upon himself. Through his shed blood and death, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ provided the way for us to receive the gift of eternal life. This is made perfectly clear in Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, what the free gift of God is, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As the children learned at VBS, a lot of people today believe that there are many ways to heaven. But God lovingly tells us his truth in Acts 4, verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Also, Jesus states in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Point three, our condition within Christ. Those who have received the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ understand that the gift is received freely through faith alone. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 states, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The relationship among faith, salvation, and obedience is important. Faith comes first. God gives us first the faith we need to believe. Then he calls upon us to respond to this great gift of salvation by giving a life of joyful obedience. Immediately our minds ask ourselves, how do I live in joyful obedience? The answer comes from God's commands in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world or age. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We know that it is so tempting and so much easier to live by our own self-truths in our minds instead of by God's truth in our hearts. When God gives these commands, he wants you to ask yourself, not in your mind, but in your heart, am I willing to obey God's commands? If so, as was discussed at VBS this past week, you will need to seek God's help, as shown in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I will now discuss these three commands in part two of my message. One, am I being a living sacrifice? Two, am I being conformed to this world? Three, am I being transformed by the renewal of my mind? Number one, am I being a living sacrifice? In Romans 12, verse 1, Paul appeals to the Roman Christians and also to us here at Waverly to individually and willingly yield our lives to God. He earnestly desires for us to surrender ourselves to God in obedience, not some part of ourselves, but our whole being, as seen in Romans 6, verses 12 and 13. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. What God is saying is that our own sacrifice to Him should show in the way we are living. We are to live unto the Lord our God in righteousness and in true holiness. By holiness, we mean to be separated from ungodliness and unrighteousness and separated to God and His righteousness. The Holy Spirit makes clear at the end of Romans 12, verse 1, that this is our reasonable service. Considering that Jesus Christ laid down His own life as a complete sacrifice for us sinners, it is only reasonable that we present ourselves as a complete living sacrifice to live in obedience to Him. We can accomplish this only with His help as we continually study His Word. Number two, am I being conformed to this world? The second command, do not be conformed to this command, to this world, is just that, a command, not a request. This attacks each one of us every day when we awake. Do I follow God's truth or the fake truth of the world? Waverly VBS Kids understood this past week that even Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan to question if God's truth really applied to them. The kids learned that truth comes from God, as evidenced in Psalm 119, verses 160. The sum or entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Fast forward over centuries, and we come to Daniel and three friends facing the same problems against Nebuchadnezzar. That king wanted them to forget who they were and become what he wanted them to be. Does this sound familiar? The world around us is trying to do the same to us and our children. We are constantly bombarded with the teaching that happiness and contentment spring from within, and that we must lose ourselves first and foremost. This teaching that self-love and self-worth are the paths to fulfillment is completely void of the gospel truth that the world desperately needs. The worldly lies are so enticing. Follow your heart. There is no right or wrong. Personal happiness is all that is important. Being a good person gets you into heaven. There are many ways to get to heaven. If you don't agree with me, you hate me. Instead of falling for their lies, listen to God. The VBS kids learned that God says, everyone needs Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Follow His heart. Believe His truth. His plan is best. Number three, am I being transformed by the renewal of my mind? Finally, God commands us to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us by renewing our minds. Earlier, we saw the condition of people without Christ, and Romans 1, verse 28 shows the condition of their mind. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be have done. This is who we are by nature. We need to have our minds renewed because our minds are by nature self-worshipping, not God-worshipping. This is clearly shown in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. For my ways are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. To have this mind renewal, you must allow the Scriptures, the Word of Christ, to dwell in our hearts and humbly walk under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to trust God even when we don't understand. Our limited understanding shows us our need for complete faith in God. Our culture may fill us with righteous indignation or outright anger. We may feel belittled, criticized, ignored, or even attacked. Ultimately, we answer to God. We must not waver from the truth. He clearly teaches this in his word in Psalm 119, verse 156. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. We can stand firm with the controlled strength of gentleness and speak words that come from a heart of love. For anyone here who may be saying to yourself, I don't need to believe in Jesus. I have a question. Will you try to stand on your own good works before the perfect Almighty God? Or will you put your faith in Jesus in order to get right with God through his blood? I began the message sharing an example where we, in our mind, think that we know the whole truth, but can be deceived. We saw that by our nature, we can suppress God's truth, not only hurting ourselves, but those around us. Praise the Lord that through his love and direction in our lives, we can follow the encouragement in Ephesians 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way unto him who is the head, Christ. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your truth that never changes. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of you, our God. How unsearchable are your judgments, and how inscrutable are your ways. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died for us, the ungodly, at the right time. May we continue to renew our minds that we may discern your will that is good, pleasing, and perfect. Amen.